It is important to recognize what the Apostle Paul is bringing forth of everything in Christianity will be in vain. In the English language, we use the word vain. But in reality, when you look at it closer, he uses three different words. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very helpful for us to understand how the Apostle Paul is approaching this subject, that if Christ was not raised. The first one was touched on it because yet it is the subject. In the second verse, that you have believed in vain. That word vain over there is different than the other ones. That's the only one that's mentioned. This means that you have no cause and no reason. There's no object. So if Christ was not raised, saints of God, we had no cause. We had no purpose. We had no object to put our hopes in. There's no object. So the first one is in relation to vain, that if Christ was not raised, our belief would have no foundation because it has no cause, no reason for it. It just, we decided to be a part of cult and draw something out, but it has no solid foundation. The second one is really in verse 10 and 14 and 58, they have the same word. And over there, he is speaking about, which is, you're right, in verse 10 it is the grace. But in verse 14 that it says, indeed vain also is our preaching, and vain also is your faith. The second one has nothing to do with the object or reason. It has to do with the word empty. Mm-hmm. Emptiness. What the enemy desired the saints to go back all the way to the beginning of Genesis when sin came in, darkness, and it says, the scripture says that everything was what? Was empty and waste. So the second one, dear brethren, if there was no resurrection, there's emptiness. It's a denial of Christ that he filleth all. That out of his fullness, so there is nothing to fill. So that hymn, we have to chop it, thou art enough, the mind and heart to fill. Because why? It should be empty. The third one that he uses is really in the verse 17. The faith is in vain. And over there, it's the third part of it. So now it's not no cause, no reason. It's not that it is empty. It's profitless and waste. Useless. That's what it is. So dear saints of God, let's hold fast that resurrection, because for us in our days, it is the eyes of faith that takes hold. The witnesses, they saw him in their own eyes. You and I, we see him in the eyes of faith, but we have to trust that it is not in vain. It is true, and we will enjoy that and experience that in a good coming.
Just a thought connected with this, the matter of faith you brought up. I'm wondering if that's why there was no testimony to the world. In this, it was only given to believers, because the principle, the only principle that God accepts is the principle of faith. We have that Hebrews 11. And so, therefore, the witnesses received this, they saw with their very eyes. And therefore, then when they proclaim a message, the only way that message can be received is on that principle of faith. And that's how we received it. And that's what we stand on. And unless we believe, for no purpose. But we believe that message because we believe that the witnesses were telling the truth and they were willing to give their lives for the truth that they saw. It's marvelous.
So we see the futility of the fact that if the resurrection have not occurred, it just, the whole Christian faith will crumble. As a matter of fact, he made it a blunt point in verse 19. He said, we are of all men most miserable because we have given up the world and the enjoyment of it to hang on something that is empty, that is something that's worthless, that is something that is not true. There's something wrong with this whole picture. That's why people who attack the doctrine of resurrection, it's a very serious matter. Without it, we are of all men most miserable. Then he goes on in verse 29. Again, I think we kind of cover the idea very clearly that everything is in vain. in whatever word he's using there. The preaching is in vain. The faith is in vain. Everything is just, it's a waste. Why even preaching? Why are people dying? And he goes on in verse, he said, the conclusion is, if that's the case, we are all men most miserable. But then there's an interesting verse, and that is verse 29. And maybe we could spend some time on it, you know. And he said in verse 29, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? Maybe we could just spend a couple of minutes to really clarify that matter, because that verse is used to build cults. Mm-hmm.
Just one comment, quick comment. Verse 15. Furthermore, we are busy being relying. Verse 15. Yes, we are from false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ from the dead, basically. So we will be them alike.
The liars, they're the whole, it's just impacting everything. The preaching is worthless, and they are lying. But now, it have a greater impact, because what happened here, there are people who are being baptized for the dead. And before we kind of go on why it is, it's not worth it if there is no resurrection, maybe we need to just clarify what does that verse mean.
In a military environment, if you picture a front line, and all the soldiers are lined up and they're accounted for, and one of them is shot and can no longer proceed and dies, another soldier comes in, a living soldier comes in and takes that position. And likewise, in the Christian faith, there are those that have gone before us, but they've passed on. And as we make our testimony public and are baptized, we are filling the rank of those that were before us. And that's really the imagery in verse 29. It's not the thought that I'm being baptized on behalf. Some translations even use that expression. On behalf of somebody who already died. That's what a cult, the Mormon cult teaches. That's an evil teaching. This is not what this is inferring. It's inferring, I am filling the rank of one who went before but is now with the Lord. As I become baptized, I identify with Christ's death. And that's part, and now I'm living. So I'm part of his death, and I'm part of his resurrection. And I display that publicly in my baptism, and I'm filling the rank of others that went before me. That's the thought.
In other words, the 500 witnesses are all gone. But here we are. The testimony continues on by the living saints.
Just a little more on that word. They would use it to be dipped in something, and a ship that sank at sea would be, have been baptized, it was submerged, but also they would use it, let's say, for dyeing cloth. So you would take some cloth and you would baptize it in the vat of yellow dye or whatever, and when that cloth has been baptized, it has the characteristics of where it was baptized, of what it was baptized for. And so these are, this is not a liquid, it's figurative application of the word, as we already said. And so they're taking on the roles that others have done, just to emphasize what has already been said, but link that usage with it. And so really we could say verses 31 and 32, that's what happens when we're baptized for the dead. When we take up the work that others were doing, when we devote ourselves to the work that others have been doing, Paul was not really stepping into someone else's line of work by what he was doing, but he was dying daily. He was identifying himself with, let's say, Stephen the martyr. He was carrying on the work that Stephen wasn't permitted to do. That James, who was killed in Acts chapter 12 before Peter was delivered later in that chapter, that those were not permitted to do because they had been put to death. And so by dying daily, again, figuratively, it's carrying around not only the death of the Lord Jesus, which the scripture teaches, I bear in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus so that the life of Christ also may be made manifest, but also that we are carrying on that testimony that's been established by others. And why subject ourselves to such difficulties? The life of a Christian who is truly a witness is not an easy life. C.S. Lewis said, if you're looking for tradition of faith to be truly comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. Because it's a life of devotion and dedication. It's a life of challenge. It's a life of hardship. Paul said to the people in Lystra and Lycaonia, he said, we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. And he said that after he was stoned and left for dead. Why submit ourselves to that kind of ridicule and even physical persecution and attack if there is no resurrection?